gentlemen. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the French Connections Friday edition. Today's date is the 23rd of November, 2007. My name is Daryl Bradford Smith. It's great to be here with you today with this most important of informational broadcasts. We do these things here on the French Connection to inform you about the world's most important issues. Things have cleared up in some areas of our programming here, and what we just did a great program. I hope everybody who listens to this who hasn't already heard the Mohammed Rafik two-part download series on the present crisis. One of the things I wanted to bring up about that is that we're going to have some follow-on information coming up very, very soon. I'm trying to explain that from a different angle, from a couple of other angles. Why? Because it's quite complex stuff. I was very pleased with the way we boiled down the situation. I remember thinking about it in advance of the show, knowing that we were going to try to talk about these bond bases and all these issues and how I could use examples or how I could show you with, you know, little snippets how this stuff actually works. And I think we did a decent job of that, in fact. Some of you may have to listen to it twice to kind of get the gist of it, but we are in a blow-up period of these packaged loans, these packaged securities, and these packaged derivatives in interbank market as well as the regular market, in fact. And this whole subprime thing is basically a huge bank fraud, what it turns out to be. And the traders see, because what's happened here, ladies and gentlemen, is in the old days, banks were often – especially the small thrifts and savings and loans that were small in your community or in your city, they were locally owned, locally controlled. They were, in fact, had to go to bigger banks to get the loans they needed for their portfolios, in fact. And oftentimes they were not allowed to involve themselves in certain kinds of packaging of securities and packaging of things. And then this sophisticated new system came in. And essentially what it did was it took moral hazard out of the equation in many ways. And I'm going to explain to you what moral hazard is because I got a couple of emails about someone wanting to know what the heck that was. Well, if you borrow money and you fix terms to that money, you know, I'll pay it back in such and such amount of years, at such and such amount of interest, but there's no way for the counterparty who lent you the money to force compliance with the deal you made, and then you just walk away from it having used the money or taken the money or benefited from the money in any way. Oftentimes the entire sum is used and never paid back. That is what moral hazard is, the lack of moral hazard. There is no – you have no moral reason to follow through with your commitments. In the simplest terms, that's what it is. I mean, I've heard a lot of different ways of putting what moral hazard is. But a banking system where you begin to lose the connection to your moral responsibility to repay, of course, starts falling apart. Now, many people believe, and I believe, the way that they've structured the banking system in its first instance here is criminal. You know, debt-based usury is what I'll call it for just the sake of argument here, ends up bleeding out all the value of people's lives. In other words, it keeps them in a perpetual state of servitude. You never end up raising up into an area in life where you can feel strong about your finances. You don't become a secure individual financially. Now, that is by design because as soon as a large swath of any population in any country begins to become wealthy, as they did in America's middle class in the 60s and 50s, they come up with ways of taking creaming off the top, if you will. They find ways of taking you and placing you lower down because they've had experience with history that a strong middle class will not bend to their wishes. And the only way that these criminals running our financial system worldwide can have their way with the public is to begin to marginalize and injure the security level of that middle class and place it in a financially precarious situation. You can do it through devaluation. You can do it through excessive charging. You can do it through fraud, as is happening now. All three of those things are actually happening now. But the final analysis, it all turns out to be the same. You can't fight back. You're more worried about getting next week or next month's payments together and, you know, paying for your kids' dental braces or, you know, your loans or all the things that you've accumulated and you start worrying all the time about losing the little kingdom you've built for yourself because there's so much pressure being placed on the finances, on the amount of available capital you have in your cash flow. Your cash flow begins to get squeezed. And so when it comes time for you to stand up above and put your head up above the parapet, you are frightened to do so because you know oftentimes that will get your little world upstaged or turned over, and you won't want to fight in those conditions. Well, that's exactly what happens in almost every case. You can see it in the destruction of the French Republic in advance of the Revolution. You can see it in the German model in the 1920s. And, of course, when we moved into the 30s, the German system had completely, middle class had completely been eroded. You also find a moral decay in the society as the middle class begins to deteriorate. What you'll find is vulgarity moving into people's lives, pornography, child abuse, alcoholism, drug abuse, all of these things. And especially when the people doing the pressuring on your financial system are also there with these emotional candies, if you will. And that's the case with the people we're fighting against. If you go back, you'll find Murano Jews involved in the management of the cocaine trade and in the shipment of and the distribution of and worldwide, in fact. And that's why you'll always find where heavy concentrations of Zionists reside, very lax drug laws or very ready supplies of drugs. Take a look at Britain. Compare that to France even. France is a lot less controlled, although that's changing with Mr. Sarkozy. But Holland as well, America, you'll find that the places where the country is the most controlled by Zionism, the highest amount of drug importation and use. You'll also find the use of pornography the highest and so forth. And then, of course, with the media being there to promote this stuff as being only mildly damaging and undermining your moral fiber when it comes to your religious beliefs, for example. And I'm not a believer in that religion is required for someone to be moral. But I am also aware of the fact that people who follow a lot of the religions of the world, such as Christianity or even Islam, find their way to being more moral people. Because Christianity and Islam also talk a lot about being generous to people. They talk a lot about sharing the things you have and whatnot. Now, of course, what we've got in America is a duped bunch of Christian Zionists running around. Actually, now with this guy Hagee saying that Jesus isn't even their savior. You also have the rest of the country moving and turning away from religion at the same time the level of vulgarity and cynicism and illness emotionally is rising. And then you pepper in the drugs for emotional problems. You push in there a fear from terrorism that's been fabricated by the government itself, and the precarity of their financial situation gets thrown into the mix, and a rise in gambling and poker playing and casinos everywhere, and all of a sudden you start getting a picture of a society in full decline, and that was not done by accident. And the people that you look who are running the gambling programs, the pornography programs, and all of the rest of the things that are going on in America and Western Europe, it's the same people we're talking about here, and they have their direct relationship to these bankers. So it's just one more perverse scam. So it's good to keep this in mind because these are the kinds of events that that have brought us to where we are, and it helps you to understand just how we've got here. Now, there is research to be done on all of these areas. People out there listening to these broadcasts should start opening up their own research programs into giving and getting more information about the people in South America peddling these drugs or the people behind the casino movement in America to get all people into the gambling sickness. We already know a lot about MENA, Arkansas, and the use of our intelligence services to spread drugs through the black community and then further afield into the regular Hispanic and white communities as well. And then what we have there is that we went through an epidemic of drugs, and we're still facing it now. They're just changing the drugs that they're selling. And now it's you know, ecstasy and these other things. So these are important things to understand, and they're also important for my listeners to try and provide more information so we can add that to our base of knowledge. But I wanted to bring up something about our French Connection programming. I'm going to go back to some of these other subjects, I think, in a couple of minutes on this rant. But we do have PayPal again. They ran us from pillar to post, ladies and gentlemen. They ran us in circles. First, they opened up our account again after closing it after about a week or so. And then we had access for a couple of days, and then they shut it down again. And in the meantime, people had donated. Now, they said it was because the claim we were making about having a non-for-profit organization and everything else was not legitimized. Well, that was legitimate. It was by the numbers. We had all of those things set up correctly. And as a result, we had to prove it. But when we sent the information in, they sent it to the wrong people. And I wonder if that was intentional or not. But they say not. A week goes by. We hear nothing from them. We send them, of course, it said 5 days they'd send us an answer. We ask a request from it. They don't answer the email. Then we send a second one, and they say, well, we never got your information. So now we're talking about a week and a half or so goes by before that next phase comes in. So we send them all the information again, and then, of course, we don't hear from them again. And we call them, and the guy we call in America hangs up on us about it, doesn't want to talk to us about the problems. He says, yes, I see there's a block there, but then he goes, oh, but it's not my problem. Click. And we wrote him another letter, and we told him that, of course, we were going to follow up with the Crown Prosecutor of Sweden for fraud charges, because there was, of course, some money sitting in that account, money that we were hoping to use to expand our programming. And now, that may or may not have got their attention, I don't know, but we sent more emails out, and finally somebody did look at the case, and they did look at our documentation, they did look at what we had there, and ultimately they reopened the case. Now, what brought their attention to the fact that we had books for sale on the site from another PayPal account was, according to my understanding here, was Mr. Huffschmidt. And that was Mr. Huffschmidt's doing about his book being on there. Now, that happened simply because we've got stuff from him still on the site. We're trying to get it off about his – I don't want this guy, based upon what he's been doing, I don't want him around me. I mean, I don't even want to really talk about it. I mean, it's unbelievable some of the things he's coming up with. It's just beyond my imaginings how whacked out this guy became. But my wife says it's jealousy. I don't know that she's not wrong about that. And he's angry because I walked away from him with my website, and he probably thinks he owned the damn thing or whatever, but it wasn't his to start with. So this is his way of paying me back, apparently. I don't know. But we're back in business here in a major way. Of course, we've added some more books. We've done more interviews. We did one recently with Dave Pidcock and talked about financial usury and the implosion of the finances of Asia and how different countries are able to stand up to this situation and whatnot. But we want to go. We want to start streaming. Now, to do that, we needed what they call is a dedicated server. Now, to get bandwidth on a dedicated server is not cheap. Now, most of the monies that we've gotten so far, we got a phone system, which is just a basic machine, a phone, a dual line, split line we got set up, and all this other stuff. We've set these small periphery things up. I've got a mixing board here to do it. I've got my stuff. We're trying to get the nuts and bolts of a station here. Nothing professional here. We're not, this is not a big city radio station. And then we're going to try to stream it out onto Shoutcast or some other direct streaming organizations so that we can have a footprint on the internet in the live streaming department. Now, that, as I said, requires a dedicated server. For one year's contract on a dedicated server, you have to pay over $1,300 or $1,400 for the dedicated server. And that's for a minimum. That's the smallest package, and it's for a minimum number of stream slots. Now, that's a year. That is not so bad. But the number of people that can sign on to your new stream, I think, is about 100 or something, even if it's the quality of like 16 bits, which is the lowest quality listening that you do. But 16, you can still hear it. One of our problems is that our recording section of our programming is a questionable quality, so we don't get the clearest audio files to go in the first place, and then when you play them on 16, they even become more degraded, so it becomes a little bit of a problem. But anyway, 16 is what most of these things have. So we're hoping. We've got our monies. We're going to start doing this, and we need a little more help from you. And we still get our monthly phone bills, and we still get the costs of the book repository, which we are working with, and this is our umbrella charity for our work here. We have the responsibilities of all that stuff. These books that are out of print, these PDF files that we've got, all of this stuff comes from our interest in putting out books for you all that are hard to find and out of print. Some of them come from you. Most of them came from our research. So we still need your help. We're just hand to mouth over here. And we're getting along. We're doing our work. In spite of all the problems that have happened since that cretin, started doing terrible things to us over here, this guy Eric, we still have stayed in the game here. Our numbers are about the same as they were, but we haven't grown. We haven't grown a lick. Many of you have sent me requests not to be palling around with some of the bad guys, and I said, well, this is ridiculous. Like, I'm going to be warming up to Alex Jones or something, which is nonsense. It's absolute nonsense. This guy is not telling the whole story. He's just not doing it. You know, to this day, I can't tell you why he's not doing it, but all I can tell you is he knows better. And you know that he knows better. He knows that Freemasonry and the like were constructs of the Zionist Jewish cabal. They weren't called Zionists when they did this, 300-400 years ago, when they started infiltrating the Catholic Church, when crypto-Jews became priests, and when crypto-Jews like Ignatius Loyola became a Jesuit, and when the infiltration of the business world came from these Jews who had been kicked out of Isabella and Ferdinand's Spain after the Inquisition and then migrated north, and many of them kept their clandestine status. And then this clandestine status from Sabbatai Zvi or Sabbatai Zvi, in the history of the Turkish section, he was called himself the Messiah, and they demanded that he convert to Islam under threat of death, and of course he converted. But he only converted on the surface, and then underneath it all, he stayed a Jew that was working against the caliphate. You saw crypto-Jews working within the Turkish Empire when they were imploding it as young Turks. You saw Madeleine Albright do it. You've seen John Kerry do it. You've seen Nicolas Sarkozy do it. So they do this. This is their main modus operandi, ladies and gentlemen. And this is how they get control of things like Freemasonry and the rest of it. And so it's not Freemasonry in control of Zionism. It's the other way around. And people refuse to make these links. And it was interesting the other day. I turned to Alex Jones for a while because somebody sent me and saying that Tex Mars was on. And Tex was very courageous and very direct. He started talking about world Zionism, and Alex rushed him to other subjects several times. There were three different points in that conversation where he was pushed away from the facts. Tex was, and Alex did not want to talk about him. Just didn't. Now, it's no mistake either that most of his buddies are from the Jewish community coming in out of Hollywood and New York. So don't trust the guy as far as I can throw him. There were other olive branches thrown my way and from people like Michael Piper and the rest. Look, my goal here is to put historic information on here and to push forward the conspiracies in research. That's it. I'm not getting involved with other people. It's been, in fact, my entanglements with other people are what have caused me most of my problems here. I'm going to keep the fight going on my own terms and do the quality work on my own terms and let other people do what they will. But I need your help to do it. I'm an honest guy doing a hard job here, and I need your support. Now, of course, if the hammer comes down, it would be nice to have friends around me willing to speak out on my behalf. But at the same time, if I'm going to keep running the risk of being upstaged or destroyed by the people that I'm associating with, then that's not working for me either. And the most important thing will be lost, and that is the truth. and we can't have that. I need help from my listeners instead. And that's where it all boils down to. And that requires me, if I'm going to make a bigger message and get 20, 30, 40, 70, 100,000 people tuning into these facts, I need your help to do it. And that's not a big help. You can send it to the PayPal. They're open again. They're accepting $5, $10, $20, $10, anything you can afford. Euros, Swedish krona, francs, whatever, Swiss francs. It doesn't matter. If whatever you've got, yen, people from around the world will listen to us. People throughout the Middle East, we need your help. People from Britain and the Muslim community, help us. South Africa, I've done two programs on South Africa recently, two very important reports for South African radio where they were – tens of thousands of people listening into the information I was providing them. Simple truth is, ladies and gentlemen, I need your help because this is not a pay organization. I don't do ads. I don't have ads on the site. I don't sell anything and make money from it. This is a basic, honest organization done by me, and I've got help from friends to do this work. That's it. And we need you. I need you. And you've helped me in the past to keep this going, and without you, we wouldn't still be doing it. And I'm asking to help you to keep helping me. $5, $10. Can you do it? Can you do it? I'm asking. You know, I'm not doing this for me. I'm doing it for everybody. Truly. And I need more people to take some of these incredible interviews. The one with Muhammad was incredible because it's explained this thing in so well, this mess, this subprime mess that keeps flashing across your television screen. For the first time, you really understood how it happened and why, and the fraud that was involved, and the reason why it won't be fixed, and the people who are going to be forced to pay for it, i.e. the taxpayer. And how important an element this is going to be in the final implosion of the American dollar. I need you to place that file in forums and in places and discuss it, talk about it, listen to it, share it with friends, put it on CD. Download, if you will, or if you want, from our podcast directly off of our site, several of our shows and put it on little CDs and send that and give them to people. Drop them on buses. You can get 10 CDs these days pretty cheap. Make up 10 of them quick and leave one on a bus. Hand one to a person on the street. Drop one on a desk to somebody or say, hey, here's something for you to listen to. Get this message out to the public. This is not about fame nor fortune, but about us saving our own hides. Now, of course, I still believe ultimately these people are going to fail at this because there is growth in our resistance to them. There is a constant state of new information being shared and disseminated throughout our societies. Short of a complete draconian lockdown of the world, I see them their control eroding. And I see if they tried that draconian lockdown, that would only be a temporary fix for them because people would begin to rise up worldwide against it. That's what I see. So they're attempting to stop us. Of course, they're saying that it's anti-Semitic to talk about these issues. It's certainly not, because many of the people that I'm quoting and the information I'm using and my listeners are from the Jewish community, and they don't want this stuff being done in their name. They don't. Honest people who are lovers of freedom and liberty do not want these things done in their name, whether they're Jewish, Muslim, Buddhist, or anything else. And they see the danger of this group's actions. And they don't want it to happen. So this is not an issue of Jew or non-Jew or Zionist Christian or non-Christian or anything, or atheist or non-atheist. It's a question of criminal controllers lying their way into power positions on our planet and then using that power position, that position of privilege, to skim all of the available benefits off of their controlled populations. Almost like they think of us as a flock of geese or as a herd of animals where they can just skim off of their herd and take from us, bleed us, if you will, of our extra capital and our extra riches and keep us at a level close to poverty. That's what socialism does, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. It keeps you very close to poverty all the time. You know, you don't know that 40% of the French public here live one paycheck away from being poor. That's why I talked in one of the files recently about working poor here in France. With these new inflation figures coming through, they can't make it. And they're descending into being working poor. They can't pay their bills. It's going to happen across the world. So prepare yourselves for that. We have another interview coming up soon with Andrew Carrington Hitchcock on his The Synagogue of Satan, the third installment of his book. I'm going to discuss that coming up maybe this weekend or possibly early next week. More interviews coming up, and we're going to try and get that dedicated server system in our control, and that we need your help to do it, but that's coming up. And the sign up to that should be the system above the introductory one. I'm hoping for like a 2,000 a year system where we can get a 150 or 200 spots right off the bat. You know, to have 200 spots streaming 24/7 year round out there in cyberspace is a good beginning. And then every available dime you send me. If there's a benefactor out there, somebody who really wants to help us, somebody has done that. In fact, George did that. Thank you, George. Everything you have helped us with is going directly back into this program. If there's somebody else like George out there who has a little extra to put aside or has done well in this life that wants to fight this big fight with us, please share that with us and let us buy more bandwidth so we can get 400, 500, 600, 1,000 slots out there. And this information can go out there because I trust me, if we get the slots, I'll fill them with listeners because people are interested in this information. And if we go head-to-head with Alex Jones and on any of these facts, he's toast. He will not be able to resist the research that we've done. He won't be able to because it's there. People like Ramsey and Lease and Ford the information is it's irrefutable. We got more books coming up, more from the past and more from the recent past and more from the present to pass before your eyes. And this association we have with these important books and this book repository is a very powerful one, ladies and gentlemen, because the pen is mightier than the sword. And it is the pen of these great researchers that we've discovered that are going to share the facts and truth about these issues. And it's so much harder for them to stop us when we come from factual information. It's very difficult for them to come out and say, you're anti-Semitic, when basically we're doing good research. Now, of course, they can badmouth us and say anything they want. But based on my experience of late, the tag they try to put on us won't stick because I'm certainly not an anti-Semite, and I have nothing against Jews at all. I have nothing against Christian Zionists either, except to tell you that they're completely duped. They're believing nonsense. And the Jews that are helping Zionism to expand in the Middle East are doing so oftentimes because they don't know any better. You know, I posted something on a financial website, that my Mohammed Rafik thing the other day, and somebody said, he talks about Zionism and it sounds anti-Semitic. And I wrote back to this forum and said, what are you talking about, man? I mean, shit, but see, this is the problem. The guy was Jewish. He just didn't know. He doesn't know these facts. This stuff has never found the light of day. You know it now, but the 8 million so-called Jews in our country and then the rest of them here in Europe, they don't know this stuff, half of them. And the ones that do, that are benefiting from this criminal system, they've got a vested interest, and they need to be jailed. The ones that know need to be jailed. The top of the group needs to absolutely be jailed, tried, convicted, and done in. That's fact. And the leadership of the Christian Zionists who are doing the duping need the same treatment. And then the nitwits who are being bought to commit crimes on behalf of this group need to be jailed and then done away with, of course. But, you know, I didn't start out knowing all this stuff either. And when somebody approached me with some of this information a few years back, I said, you're crazy. Get away from me. You're crazy, man. That's nuts what you're saying. That's crazy. And, of course, it was almost a Pavlovian response on my part. I didn't want to go anywhere near that kind of – and then I – In retrospect and in hindsight here, I see that there was a response coming from ignorance on my part. Of course, you learn these things, and the facts surpass your autonomic response to pulling away from the information, and finally you start accepting it. And once you've accepted it, the newer information starts flowing in. You start looking into the facts again and go further with it, and you start hearing better books that are available. You read one, you read a second one, you read a fourth, a tenth, and all of a sudden you start knowing the whole history of it, like I have and many of you have. We can get more people. The ones we've got, we're keeping. The people we've converted to these facts, we've got them. We know they know the truth now. They can't be turned back into a cucumber. They're always going to be a pickle, ladies and gentlemen. And what we need to do is grab a few more cucumbers and turn them into pickles too, and then we got some people with the information. We can go out and do battle with the world when we have tens of thousands of you, because we can become the teachers for the next generation. That's what we can become here. This is a political movement we are in here at the French Connection, and you are part of it, and I need your help. We're at war, and I need your help. More coming on the French Connection. We've got more to say. We've got more to show you. We've got more to invest in to make this a better programming and make it a more important element to the truth. So please give us a hand if you would. And if you've got questions or you don't want to send $5, $10, send it to our address, the address that's written down. You can send $5 to that address. It'll show up. Somebody often they won't take the risk of stealing a letter or opening up a letter for a couple of bucks. You want to send a couple of bucks through the mail? It'll get there. It'll get there. If you put $100 in there, and they have detectors actually these days. If you put a lot of money in an envelope, it'll get stopped because there's bands of metal in there, and it'll stop. It'll get start ringing, whatever. So you don't want to do that. But $5, $10 in an envelope, it'll arrive. So if that's what you're more comfortable with and you don't want to use PayPal, don't. Ladies and gentlemen, in fact, with the donation on credit card, if you'd like to give us a couple of bucks off of your credit card, you can do it directly to PayPal, in fact. They haven't been the greatest organization ever, but we've proven our case with them with facts and with documentation. And we believe we are within our rights to use that system. And as long as we don't let large sums of money build up in there, certainly they can't really shut us down without cause. And so if you want to use your credit card with a small donation, we would be appreciative of it. And you can do it directly into PayPal if you'd like. You don't even need an account. All you need to do is go to their website and find who you want to send the money to, and then charge it right off of your credit card to us. I was not aware of that ability, but that would help us. If we got a decent amount of people to help us at this point, we would actually get the package where we can get 300 or 400 streams going at once. Now, that would be a constant number of people listening to the French Connection 24 hours a day worldwide. And, it's based upon Mr. Alex Jones's numbers. I'm certain that I can start challenging that guy if we had the bandwidth. I'm sure of it, because our information's better. The work we've done is more pointed and to the, right on the money. His stuff is based upon the fact that Zionism is only an element in this stuff, and I got news for you. It isn't. It isn't. It is the principal group behind this mess. Take a look at 7+ out of 10 billionaires in the world are from this community. You do the math. It makes no sense otherwise. So there's the rant for today. This is Friday, and lots of stuff on our horizon here. I see all kinds of crap coming down the pipe here. The dollar's toast. It's getting worse. You know it is. Take a look at the numbers today. Take a look at what's happening around you. There is another leg to this subprime thing going to blow up. They're probably going to try to keep it out of the press for the time being so that they can cream off some money for Christmas from everybody. But there's a whole lot of new stuff coming down the way here, all the way into 2008. So hang on to your hats, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right beside you trying to explain it to you and trying to get more people to understand it. So please, take care of your families. And until the next time, this is Daryl Bradford Smith saying be well. Bye-bye now.